All right, so at this time, if you would, just open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11, where we've been since the beginning of this year. We started out in this series of messages, and we're dealing with the blessedness of the faithful Christian life. And I pray it is that you are endeavoring in this new year to live a faithful Christian life. In the last two messages, we dealt with the primary importance of a faithful offering. And we looked at that account that's given to us of the worship of Abel and the fact that he gave a faithful offering. And so in verse number 5, would you notice with me this morning, if you're looking at your Bible, we're going to be emphasizing this morning a faithful witness. Notice in verse number 5, the Bible says this, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found." Why? Because God had translated him. "For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, it's interesting to me how powerful these two records are in God's declaration of them. Think of it. We have very little scripture given to us concerning these two records. In Abel's case, we have a small portion of scripture, and in Enoch's case, we have a small portion of scripture as well. But yet, in spite of that, there's so much that you and I can understand by these two small accounts. And by the way, just as a side note, can I tell you this, that God can give us unimaginable wisdom just in a few words. I pray it is that you've been faithful in your Bible reading this year, and here's what you'll discover, that even in just a few words, God can impart to you and I unimaginable wisdom. In this account, I want us to look at one aspect of really Enoch's life and Enoch's record, and that is simply this, of a faithful witness. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, I pray you would be a help to us on this day, Lord, and even though we've had to record this prior to Sunday's meeting, I pray, Father, as folks are listening to this recorded message, Father, Lord, that you would use your word to speak to their hearts. Father, would you challenge us? I pray, Father, every Christian that hears this message this morning would commit to you to be a faithful witness. And perhaps, Lord, there's someone that listens this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, this very day that they would come into a relationship with God through our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by trusting in him and in him alone. Father, help us to look at this account of a faithful witness and understand how it is that you and I are to be a faithful witness as a child of God in this day. And Lord, we just love you. We thank you. I pray, Father, for those who are snowed in. Lord, would you protect them? Father, would you allow everybody's heat to work just fine? Lord, would you allow everybody to remain safe these few days? Help us to enjoy the snow that you've brought to us. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. I want us to consider this matter this morning of being God's witness. We've spent a lot of time on Wednesday night going over the Soul Winners Refresher Course, and it's just us reminding ourselves on how to deal with people and how to interact with people in presenting the gospel to them. And I believe this, there is a wonderful example here of a man, now listen, who dared to walk with God in the midst of a perverse generation. Think about the time in which Enoch lived. Everybody was turning away from God in so much that the Noahic flood ends up coming later on in the text there in Genesis. Kind of reminds us this way of the days that you and I are living in. You know this, we're living in a world that is full of wickedness and a world that is full of violence. And yet, we say this, there stands one star in the firmament of the blackness of space, and that is this man by the name of Enoch. You know, like Abel, there are only a handful of scriptures given to us concerning this man, Enoch. Luke chapter 3 and verse 37, Hebrews 11, 5, Jude and verse number 14, which we'll look at in just a little bit, and actually Genesis in chapter number 5. But listen, God takes just a little record of this man Enoch, and he does much with the life of Enoch for you and I. Think of it. Here we are thousands of years down the road still talking about a man that walked with God and was not because he pleased God. Look with me in your Bible, if you'll turn over to the front of your Bible, in Genesis chapter number 5, and we're going to read those few verses on this account of Enoch in Genesis chapter number 5, and I'll give you just a moment to get there in your Bible. As you get there to Genesis chapter 5, would you rest your eyes with me on verse number 21. The Bible says this about Enoch. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Think of how precious these words are. Enoch was not. Why? For God took him. Now, we understand this from the text in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 5, that the Bible tells us that he was translated, meaning specifically that he should not see death. Now, how precious is that indeed? I know of only one other person in all of the scriptures where God has said to translated someone, in other words, taken them from earth and brought them right into heaven. Based on the text here in Hebrews 11, 5, the word used here, I believe this translation means exactly the same thing that we find with Elijah the prophet, who was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind of fire. That's found in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 11. This is amazing. Only two people in all of recorded human history among billions who have lived on this earth have this powerful testimony. Well, I think this, as we think about how astounding that is, that you and I ought to look at this example of faith and learn a little bit this morning about what it is to be a faithful witness. Now, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you several points. Maybe you could write this down, this first point. Number one, the consequences of his faith. What were the consequences of Enoch's faith? Can I tell you this morning, assuredly, that you will never lose by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, friend, can I tell you, you're not going to lose out by following the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I can tell you, Christian, you're not going to lose out by living the faith life. Number one, notice this about the consequence of his faith. First of all, we learn this, that he pleased God. The Bible said back in Hebrews 11, 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and that's pretty amazing, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, notice this, he had this testimony, guess what it is, that he pleased God. Remember, the opposite of this is declared in the very next verse. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're not speaking solely about one's salvation, for we must come to God by grace through faith. When you and I compare Genesis 4:24 and Hebrews 11:5, we come to the conclusion that his life, his walk with God, was what pleased the Lord in so much that God took him. Now, I don't know about you, but I think of a faithful Christian as one who walks in faith with in communion with the Lord. Can you imagine it? You do that so much that the Lord takes you home to be with him in glory. I love this. Can you imagine how it must have transpired? That in effect, God tells Enoch, you're not coming home today to your home. You're coming to your real home with me. What an amazing account. A consequence of Enoch's faith was simply this. Number one, that he pleased God. But then notice this. Not only did Enoch please God, we could say this, that he witnessed the presence of God. Friend, can I ask you this morning, how much do you know the presence of God upon your life? In our account here, we read some simple yet powerful words that Enoch walked with God. Now, I love my wife, and sometimes when we go on vacation, we want to go somewhere where there is snow, which is kind of ironic with the snow perhaps all around us this day. Other times it is when my wife and I have gone on vacation, we like to go where the sun is. And one of those things we love to do is we'll go and we'll sit down on the beach and just enjoy our time. We'll listen to the crashing of the waves. We'll do a whole bunch of nothing and read our Bibles and some good Christian books. And after a while from sitting there on that beach and listening to those waves and reading our Bibles, after a while, we'll decide to get up and go walking down the beach. Now think about this. Wouldn't it be not so nice if I said, all right, honey, we're going to get up, we're going to go walk down the beach, and I start walking this way, and Shannon starts walking this way. Boy, that wouldn't be a nice time. We wouldn't be walking together, would we? Well, listen, Enoch walked with God. They walked together. You see, my wife and I, we enjoy walking together. We enjoy holding hands if it's not too hot. We enjoy taking pictures together in those beautiful places. Friend, Enoch witnessed and testified by his life and his speech the presence of God in his life. And the question I have for us this morning is this. I wonder how much you and I could do this same thing this morning. We could testify of this same truth this morning that, listen, I can tell you I have the presence of God upon my life. And so we see that this is the consequence of his faith. First of all, that he pleased God, but secondly, that he witnessed the presence of God upon his life. But I want you to see something else, number two, the compelling because of his faith. You know, we see the consequences of his faith, and we might think on that. What would it have been like for God to take him? What was his translation like? And I know oftentimes we might think about that. What will it be like one day when Jesus steps out of the clouds and the rapture of the church takes place? If we're alive during that time, we'll be translated instantly and be present with the Lord. And that's an amazing thought indeed. But I want you to consider this, really the compelling that took place because of his faithful Christian life. Look with me on the other side of the Bible. So we're at the very beginning of our Bibles. Turn with me all the way to the other end of Scripture in Jude, the book of Jude, all the way at the end of your Bible. And again, I'll give you a minute just to get there because we see a record of Enoch in Jude, verses number 14 and 15 as you turn there on the other side of your Bible. Now, to get to the book of Jude, if you just go to Revelation and back up one book, you'll run right into the book of Jude. And so notice with me in verse number 14, if you're there, the Bible says this, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And I'll just read 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. I want you to notice in this text about Enoch in these few verses that there are two words that are repeated often in this text. In fact, they're like two bells that are rung and the tolls go out by someone who is a faithful witness. These two words are simply this. Number one, the words all, and number two, the words ungodly. You know of Enoch's witness being a faithful witness. Would you see with me what is said about the word all? He says this in the text, that the Lord cometh to do what? To execute judgment upon all. Notice also he says the Lord cometh to convince all that are ungodly. And then lastly we see this, the Lord cometh, we might say, to reveal all their ungodly deeds and all their heart speeches. In other words, there's going to be a revelation of truth that takes place when the Lord comes. There's going to be an execution of judgment, and there's going to be convincing of all of their ungodly deeds. Now, this was the faithful witness of Enoch. Think of it. You and I live in a day thousands of years removed from the penman Jude. Jude penned down this record thousands of years ago, over 2,000 years ago. And Jude lived thousands of years removed from the record of the life of Enoch. And yet, notice this, we are still not at the moment that was prophesied so many thousands of years ago by Enoch. But yet, can I tell you this? This kind of witness to the truth was needed in the early days of the Genesis record. Right at the beginning, after the fall of man, the seventh from Adam, this record of Enoch, his testimony about judgment to come, was needed in Enoch's day. Then we fast forward thousands of years into the days of Jude. And guess what? Jude understood by inspiration of the Holy Ghost that this record was needed in Jude's day, this testimony. And can I say this? That this kind of testimony is desperately needed today. Why? Because there's coming a day, friend, when this scripture will be fulfilled. We see not only the compelling of his faith, we see the consequences of his faith, but number three, if you're writing notes, notice the components of his faithful witness. What exactly does a faithful witness look like? Well, notice in our text, number one, a faithful witness declares the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see there in verse 14 that Enoch prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh." A faithful witness is one who points people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in the text in Jude that Enoch declared the fact that the Lord would come one day with 10,000s of his saints. And if you're a child of God, you're going to be one of those saints that comes with the Lord Jesus. This record in Jude is obviously emphasizing the second coming of the Lord. And this would have been in keeping with the impending judgment in the days of Enoch concerning the Noahic flood. You and I declare the same thing today, do we not? We declare today the truth about the Lord Jesus as given to us in the scriptures. And by the way, that includes his second coming. This is what a faithful witness is. You and I must be diligent in declaring the truth of the Lord's first coming, but then also the surety of his return. You know, Enoch's witness, being full of faith, declares that God's judgment will be universal. In other words, just as the flood destroyed those who were outside of the ark, and just as fire and brimstone destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, excepting Lot and his two daughters, the faithful witness declares the truth about the Lord in his judgment. You know, when Jesus comes again and he judges, it'll be a universal judgment. But then notice this, not only is it universal, all will be judged. Secondly, understand this, it will be personal. Now, we're not talking about the judgment of men. People might get this idea about standing in front of a man and being judged by a man. We're not talking about being judged by simply a man. We're talking about being judged by the God-man. God himself will come to judge this world. And then by declaring the truth about the Lord, a faithful witness will declare the truth that the Lord is just in the judgment that he'll make. We notice that Enoch declared this judgment will convince all of all their ungodly deeds in speeches. You know, a faithful witness then declares the truth about the Lord, but then secondly, notice a faithful witness declares the timing of judgment. You know, the trouble for you and I oftentimes is that we believe that tomorrow will come just like it did today. Now, this is what many of you know to be true. We have several first responders that work among us. And if you were to ask an EMS worker or you were to ask a firefighter how often they encounter folks perhaps whose homes have burned down or perhaps who have gotten into some type of major accident, oftentimes they'll say this, I never thought this would happen to me. What I'm telling you is simply this, the timing of judgment. Oftentimes those who are lost, dead in trespasses and sins, never think that day of judgment is going to come. And let me just say this, Christians oftentimes who have turned away from the Lord and are backsliding from the Lord often think this, oh, that day of judgment is never going to come. Friend, can I tell you there is a time when the Lord Jesus will return. Listen, Enoch, at the very beginning of human history, declared with fervor and assurity that this was going to take place. You say, what would Enoch do today if he were alive, still upon this earth? I'll tell you what he would do. He would testify of this same truth that Jesus is coming. And can I say this, that if you and I are going to be a faithful witness, we must be urgent. We must be emphatic to others that the Lord Jesus is coming again. We must warn those who are on the precipice of eternity that there is a judgment coming. Not only is a faithful witness declare the timing of judgment, and he declares the truth about the Lord, but then number three, a faithful witness discerns the target of the message. So we look here in our text, we notice those two words again, all and ungodly. And it tells us this, that the target of the message is undoubtedly the ungodly. You know, a faithful witness recognizes that those who are lost are by definition ungodly. It is further to note this, that those who are in a backslidden condition as a Christian are acting as if they are the ungodly. You see, a faithful witness is one who knows the target of his message. Enoch knew full well who the target of his message was. Well, how did he know that? Because he walked with God. And I'm afraid today that you and I don't have any kind of target whatsoever, because the truth of the matter is we're not walking with God the way we should. Friends, if you're getting alone with God and you're spending personal time with the Lord and you're in his presence and walking in the light as he is in the light, then you'll be able to discern very quickly who the ungodly are. You'll be able to discern who it is that are in the backslidden conditions. What was the purpose of this message? Well, the purpose of this message was that there would be repentance towards God. And some have said this just as an easy way to know what repentance is. It's a change of mind that results in a change of direction and heart. It's a change of mind that results in a change of direction and heart. And so it would be the purpose of this message that folks would have repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we see in Acts 20 and 21. The purpose is that there be not one soul who rejects God, who rejects the Lord Jesus, and goes to hell unnoticed. You know, Enoch was a faithful witness because he knew the target of his message. And I think sometimes you and I close our eyes to the lost world around us. God help us for that. May I say lastly, number four, a faithful witness discloses God's message tenderly. Later on in this short epistle, as Jude is compelling these to contend for the faith of the common salvation that was delivered unto us, we need to earnestly contend for the faith. Later on in this epistle, after having cited Enoch as an example of a faithful witness, notice what it says here in verses 22 and 23. Actually, let's read verse number 21 as well. The Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, Christian, walk with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now notice verse 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, you and I need to have some discernment from the Lord in how we deal with people as a faithful witness. But could I close by giving you this clarion call? Friend, you and I as Christians need to have compassion. Somewhere along the way, I believe it is, we're disconnected from the Lord in our personal walk, and our love is waxing cold. And perhaps it is that we need to just draw closer to the Lord and have compassion. Friends, when you look about and you see those that are dead in trespasses and sins, instead of us turning our noses up, we ought to have compassion on these that are lost. Friends, we ought to perhaps pull out of the fire some who are on the precipice of eternity. And then there's others who are Christians that you and I don't need to turn away from because they're not walking with the Lord. But perhaps we need to have compassion towards them. And the Bible says we need to make a difference. You say, how so, Pastor James? You can make a difference and have compassion by being a faithful witness. Do you know this? Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Friends, one of the worst things you and I could ever do is not speak the truth in love to someone else. In other words, let us not be the ones that put our arms around them and say, you know what? You're not walking with the Lord, and that's okay. Friends, it is not okay. We ought to be truthful. We ought to be honest, and we ought to be direct, and we ought to have compassion, and we ought to speak the truth in love. As I close out this message, we see this, that a faithful witness is given to us as an example of a faithful Christian in the midst of a fallen world. You know, Enoch was the one who was taken of God. Why? Because he pleased God. He walked with God. We see here from this passage in Jude that a faithful witness declares the truth about Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we see this. A faithful witness declares the timing of the judgment to come and knows the target of God's message. Could I encourage you this way? That a faithful witness will declare God's message with a heart full of love and compassion. He declares God's message tenderly, having compassion on those that are without and having compassion on those that are within as well. Let me ask you the question this morning as we close. Are you a faithful witness for the Lord? Can you look at your life and see those components of being a faithful witness when you're dealing with others? Can I ask this second question? Do you walk with God? Do you please the Lord in all that you do? You say, Pastor James, the thrust of my life is to please the Lord in all that I do. And to that, I would say amen. Praise the Lord for that. Let's have a word of prayer. And I pray it is this way, that you and I would be found faithful as a faithful witness for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this short amount of time that we've had to look at this dynamic account of Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam. And Lord, you said in your word that he was not because you took him. Why? Because he had this testimony that he pleased you. Father, I understand from the passage in Jude that Enoch, part of what he did that pleased you, was to stand up and be a faithful witness. Father, I pray that you challenge our hearts, that you work in our lives, that even as we study the Soul Winners Refresher Course, as we prepare to go out and tell others about Jesus, that Lord, that we too would be faithful witnesses for you. Would you help us in this matter? Lord, I do pray lastly, if there's someone listening to this video that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, Father, perhaps they would reach out to us where we could talk to them on the phone. They send us an email. Maybe it is they get on the chat there with somebody on the Facebook page. But Lord, I pray that there be one maybe that's listening today that experienced repentance towards God. They would turn from their life of sin and their own way to heaven and turn to God and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, understanding that he died for them on the cross of Calvary, that he shed his precious blood for their sins, and that he paid their sin debt. He was buried, and 3 days later rose again from the grave. He is alive forevermore, our Savior. I pray there'd be one, perhaps, Lord, that would cry out to Jesus and claim that verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, believing all that God says about Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, if there's someone like that listening this day, Father, would you help them, Lord, help them to open their eyes to truth and, Lord, turn to you. Lord, we just love you. I pray, Father, you just watch over us now. And we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.